United Church in Sauk City. This is 99.7 FM WRPQ Baraboo. We take you live to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good evening. Welcome to St. John's. Please greet one another in the Lord. Say hello. Wave at somebody. Just so I don't forget later on Sunday we're having just a fun fellowship. We're putting the phones away and letting 10-year-olds beat pastor at Bunko, right? Is that the way it's going to work? So please come to that, have a good time, try to get some, let's get some fellowship going and some joy with one another. That's kind of what Jesus is doing in our Epiphany sermon today. He's gathering others to be with him and find joy in serving the Lord in the family business. And the family business is being a fisherman's ministry. We begin our worship with our first hymn, O God from God, O Light from Light, hymn 629.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Timothy Kuski will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the theme from Scripture reading Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20, Follow Me. Join us now in singing hymn number 629.
Rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for our lessons. Our first lesson is from Jonah chapter 3, and it is kind of the culmination of Jonah's preaching and what joy the Lord gets because he found some more souls. We read, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, 'Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh just as the word of the Lord had commanded. Now Nineveh was a great city of God. It required a 3-day walk. Jonah walked through the city for a day and he called out, 40 more days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. The men of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. When God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster which he said he would bring on them, and he did not carry it out. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." We continue with our psalm of the day, Psalm 62. It's in the form of a hymn. You need to find it in your gray psalter on page 304. My soul finds rest in God alone. Our readings mix the metaphors a little bit. God sent a prophet called Jonah in our Old Testament reading, and now he sends ambassadors. We are God's ambassadors. An ambassador is one who is bound to say what his king, the one above him, says is going to be said. He can only negotiate on the basis of what that king gives to him. Well, this is what we need to do. Continue to speak what God speaks. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ compels us, because we came to this conclusion: one died for all. Therefore, all died, and he died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died in their place and was raised again. As a result, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, we no longer know him that way. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he was entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, inasmuch as God is making an appeal through us. We urge you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel acclamation. Our second lesson, or our gospel lesson, is from Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 14. Last week we talked about the calling of the disciples, but here Christ really makes it urgent for them. This is after John had been put in prison. That was when John was still preaching. We read, after John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus was going along the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishermen. I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat mending their nets. Immediately, Jesus called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated. On Sunday, the 5th through 8th graders are going to sing for us. But today, you're going to sing, and I think we're going to have a cantor to sing the first verse for us, right? Christ be the way in whom we walk, hymn 516. We've looked at it before. Please open your hymnals. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Your people who see Christ clearly. It's always good to talk about fishermen when Jesus walks by Galilee. And you know what fishermen are like, right? They know when the fish are biting. Those disciples who were often on the lake of the Sea of Galilee would often go out at night because that's when the fish were at the surface and the nets could catch them. Those who use line often know when there's a run, maybe up a river or down a river or maybe in a big lake. They know exactly when it's happening. And they even know their little hiding places and kind of places they prefer in a river or in a lake. They've studied these things because, well, they want some fish. They want to catch the fish. Well, today, we see Jesus tell some fishermen, now is the time to be fishers of men. He wants to begin a fisherman's ministry. Let me just read a couple of verses from our text. The time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then the line about fishers of men, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. How shall I live? That was kind of the question in our hymn, wasn't it? How shall I live now that God has made it clear to me that I am a sinner who deserved eternal death, and yet he gave me eternal life? How shall I live? It's the kind of question that comes to somebody who had their life saved, wouldn't you know? There's all those stories of soldiers who had their friends save them in battle. And there's a bond, a debt, a connection that cannot be broken when something like that happens. Well, you as Christians know that's exactly what Christ did for you. And he tells us now is the time. He says this is the crux of history. How did Jesus say it? The time is fulfilled. Christ was here. And he was beginning his ministry, and he wanted to share that ministry with others. This is the very hinge on which all of history bends. I laugh a little bit at the eggheads at big universities. They changed the BC and AD things along the way from BC to BCE, and from AD to CE, which means Common Era. And I just think, well, you haven't changed the years, have you? And so really, they're making the point that Christ, at that point, was the very crux of history. It established our common era in their speak. And it's important for us to realize that. Oh, they may try to deny Christ, and yet they affirm him. Because Jesus is always present now as a human being with us, and he is doing his ministry through us. How shall we live then? Now here's where, when we follow Jesus, it means growing in the faith. And here's where, modern preachers do need to kind of discipline their congregations. And I fault you a little bit, St. John's 2. Why? Because you need to make it a habit of attending worship. It's something that ought to be just the thing that happens. Worship weekly with the Lord is what the third commandment says. This is God's commandment, not mine. That's what he says to you. And as a way to grow in your faith, I want you to get to your Bible class more. This is where, here at a regular worship service, you get a lecture. That's not always the funnest, but you can ask your questions at our Bible classes and really get them answered. This is, let's not make more excuses for ourselves. Let's not say I got too much Jesus or I don't know enough. Well, if you don't know enough, get to Bible class and be part of God's kingdom on his urgent mission to bring more people to Christ. How important that is for every generation to make the gospel their own. That's exactly what Christ wants to happen. You adults, so you who are older, got gray hair, you have a job too. Your job is to make sure the next generation is serious about their faith. To make sure the next generation hears what they need to hear, gets their questions answered, and see the joy of Christ Jesus. And the generation, every new generation needs to take up that call that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Because God, Christ gives you, each and every one of you, as a disciple of him, a personal ministry. This message is so urgent and so now, this fisherman's ministry, that he wants every person to be a part of it. And every disciple he expects to be an ambassador for Christ. That's what he's saying when he's saying, be fishers of men. Now, no one expects you to be a theologian. I love talking about people who come to me and say, well, I wish I would have said. Well, guess what? I say the same thing about things that I've said to other people. I fumbled over my words. But here's the thing to really remember, to really make your ministry work. You need to be able to say, you know what? I probably need to study up on that too. Can we talk about this later? That's a great phrase to remember, right? And then you get a second chance at the apple, you know, another bite at the apple to get them interested in what you believe. And if they're telling you how they have discovered this new teaching over here or that new teaching over here, don't get offended. Satan sends the world full of these things, and they never seem to work. And people don't get it until they've given their whole lives into it, and guess what? It falls apart on them. That's where you need to be ready to say, you know what? I have a God who has spoken to us, who has written down what he means, who has said what he means. And it always seems to work, and people know that. They know it. And yet they just have too much pride to believe it. That's my point of view. What do you think? Get into that conversation and remind them who our God is. Make sure they know that the gospel is for each and every sinner. Now, part of this fisherman's ministry is a little bit crazy here. People make a big deal about this particular reading that we read and the one we read last week, and they call it a discrepancy or a conflict, that there were two accounts of calling Peter and Andrew and two accounts of calling James and John. And you know what? I believe the scriptures on this one. When I was in eighth grade, my pastor, and I tease my dad, I say, Dad, did you set him up for that? He says, nope, I didn't do it. My pastor came to me and said, I think you ought to consider the ministry. And that was in the back of my mind, and I was trying to run away from it and not follow it and, you know, be just a normal kid and, you know, this, that, and the other. And I think I succeeded at that. But in that back of my mind, there was that little thing up through my college years, and in the college years I was at a school that prepped people for the ministry. But eventually God led me on, kept holding my hand, made me think I could actually do this. Why? Because the Lord would be with me. And that's a great attitude to take. When we're doing God's business, we need to know he's there to carry us through. I received a call into the ministry from a certain body. I was more than just a disciple at that time. I had a responsibility for the ministry of God. Here I was taking on the public ministry. But here's the thing. You don't have public ministry. You have your private and personal ministry with the people you know. And he gives you the privilege to serve in his kingdom. Those disciples were probably called twice. Took them a little while to figure out they wanted to follow Jesus. And when he made them into what they were, wow, what amazing things God did with them. When we're talking about a fisherman's ministry, we're talking about the actual idea that the kingdom of God is near. That's what Jesus did in his own preaching. It says it in our text. This is the phrase that John the Baptist used because he knew his Old Testament scriptures. God had put into, that picture of a kingdom that grows for people. And quite frankly, every time we come to church, we pray for this kingdom, don't we? What do we say in the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, right? This is what Luther said about it. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead a godly life now on earth and forever in heaven. Luther makes it very clear with many passages and this, that, and the other that the Holy Spirit is the one that really does the work, and he turns people's hearts to faith. What an important thing for you as you go about your fisherman's ministry to know that your job is just to be a glorified parrot. All right? You don't have to be all that. You just got to love them enough to say, I want you to have the same peace I do, and this is where I'm at. I had this experience where God carried me through. I had that experience where God comforted me. And it fits with the scriptures. How wonderful. You see, faith comes from hearing the message, and the Holy Spirit works through that message. The message that you bring to people, God works in and through you to grow his kingdom. So what do we need to do? Well, talk to people. Who are the people you can talk to? Well, Jesus got to know some of these guys. He had met them down by John the Baptist when they were taking their Iron Men time with John the Baptist, right? Iron Men of God. And they were growing in their faith because John was teaching them. And just after Jesus was baptized, he talked to these guys and got to know them a little bit. And then later he got to know them when they were up by Galilee. They're all from different towns, from Cana and from Bethsaida and from Capernaum. These were young men that God had chosen to be his future representatives. And Jesus cultivated these friendships and got to know them. Well, what's your network? God wants you to talk to your friends, your relatives, your acquaintances, those at work, for example, or your neighbors. Pastors always kind of summarize that, kind of like the army, they have an abbreviation for everything. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors. FRAN, your FRAN network. Good way to think about it. Speak to people. Speak to people. Talk to them. How can I do that? I'm intimidated. Oh, no, I don't have the words. Let the Spirit lead you, dear people. And remember those phrases I taught you. And even if you make a mistake, well, I'll tell you what my internship pastor told me when I came up there as a wet behind the ears young man. I went up to serve in that church, and he said, well, Tim, when you make a mistake, I'll be here to clean it up after you. He didn't say if, he said when. He was teasing me a little bit, but yeah, I made mistakes. And he just cleaned it up after me. You know what? God uses others to sometimes clean up what we've done. And don't worry about it. You're not the theologian. But talk to people about their spirituality. You have the Spirit in you. That's what God has given you when he brought you to baptism. That's what God gave you through his word. That's what he strengthens in you when he grows your faith. Use that Spirit. Speak those words. Be interested in the people, even though their point of view might be way off the wall. Be ready to talk about it again and be ready to catch them when they fall. Can we talk about this again? What a phrase. How many opportunities do we get to talk to people. Yeah, I know the old adage, you never talk to people about religion or politics, right? Okay, how many people talk about politics these days? Goodness gracious, the silly season is here and everybody's going to be shouting in each other's face. Let's talk religion in peace and quiet and seriousness to build that kingdom. Well, Jesus tells us how we're going to make that kingdom work. He says, repent and believe in the gospel. That word repent is a loaded word. It reminds us exactly what we're supposed to do. Luther hit it square on the head when he said, every day of a believer's life ought to be a life of repentance. We know what goes through our own heads. We know what kind of sins we do right up in here where no one else can see it, where we'd be embarrassed to tell our spouse what we were thinking, right? But repenting means that you believe the law that God established. Do you know your sins? Do they affect your life? Have they made a mess of what you have been in? Repent to the Lord. You see, a faith in God, which is a key part of all repentance, is trusting that God loves sinners. Trusting that God loves those who have fallen away at times, who have missed the mark, who have fallen down and need to be lifted up, who have died in their sins and need to be raised to life again. And he loves us, and he wants you to grow in that. Now, there are many in our world who have a false repentance, and it's probably good for us to talk about that. They don't have a faith in what the law says. They don't think that certain sins that Jesus points out are sins at all. Or they say something like, well, there's the Ten Commandments. If you obey the Ten Commandments, that's enough. But what Jesus said, you know, about certain things, and said that when you look at your, when you want to kill your neighbor in your heart, well, that's not really murder. But that's exactly what Jesus said when he said, if you hate your neighbor, you're a murderer. God is putting the bar high. And so many just try to say, well, I haven't been a murderer. Oh, yeah, but you swindled a lot of people and you made all kinds of trouble for your family and friends. Those two are sins. And think about what that means in your spiritual life, you know? They're basically saying, I can take care of those little ones, and they make sins. Oh, there's the little ones, and then there's the big ones, you know? But we know what God has said along the way. When God commanded Adam and Eve, he said, don't eat this apple. Of course, it was his command, and going against it would be rebellion against God, which is exactly what every sin of ours truly is. We're saying, God, you can't punish us for being so selfish and so hurtful to others. But I can take care of that. I'm good enough to take care of my own sins. Well, if you're saying that, then what in the world did Jesus have to die for if you can take care of him? Are you saying Christ should have just stayed at home and just taught us to be a little better? You're denying the whole tenet of Christianity, that God loves us enough to do the hardest, dirtiest work, to come here, to be with us, to represent us before God, to give the payment of his life, his perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. And you're making that seem to be nothing when you have that attitude. How sad many churches kind of follow into that and make sin into nothing. When we repent, we acknowledge the justice and the holiness of our God. What we believe is that we have a God of grace and mercy. And that's where a faith in the gospel of Christ Jesus comes in. We know what he did. He freed us from sin and from death and from the devil. And how joyful it is that we believe in that gospel, because it is a gospel of freedom. the sins that could condemn us, that could put us in hell for eternity, are gone. The holiness that we had lost has been given back. The blood of Jesus covers us like a garment before God. And all he sees is perfection. This is the gospel. God in Christ demonstrated the necessity of perfect obedience. God in Christ upheld the law in all of its holiness. God in Christ taught about the consequences of sin, that is, hell. But then, because it was so serious, he gave his life as that ransom for you and for me. So now, dear children of God, go that one step further. Join the family business and be part of God's fisherman ministry. Love those around you, those in your friend network, enough to say, I got something that's just liberating. I got something that gives me confidence to live life now and ready for eternity. That's what we got to proclaim. That's what he gives us to be his ambassadors in. When is it time to do it? The time is now. What are we doing? We're building that kingdom of God, just like we pray every week, in your kingdom come. And it's really not that complicated. Repent and believe. By letting the Spirit build hearts of faith through your words, by letting him work in your lives, he builds that kingdom through you. Be part of that joyful kingdom. Rejoice that he uses you for his purposes, and be part of the fisherman's ministry. Amen. Please rise. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. It is on the screen for you. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord God, heaven above, you have called us to our personal ministry. Lord God, help us to understand the privilege that that entails and the joy and the peace that comes with it. With a full understanding of our sins forgiven and heaven before us, something that we could not acquire on our own. Lord God, help us to see what grace and mercy you have showered down upon us. And with that understanding, dear Lord, open up our mouths to speak to those around us, to be your tool in this world for those who, for this generation that also needs to hear that gospel message. So many over the years have turned away from you. Some have not practiced Christianity, even though they thought they did. Lord God, bless us that we may truly understand what you have said, how unholy we truly are, and yet how holy you make us through Christ Jesus. Bless and encourage us every day that this can be the message for everyone around us. Help us to use simple words and take the time to love our friends, our relatives, our acquaintances, our neighbors enough to give them the gift that you gave to us, a gift we can keep on giving and never lose any of it. Lord God, bless us in our personal lives. When these times come when we can speak for you, give us your Spirit that we may speak the right words, and give us patience. This doesn't happen overnight and may take years of encouragement and love. Lord God, give us such a deep heart of love, the kind of love that you gave by coming here and being with us for many years before you gave your sacrifice. Lord God, give us that strength and help us to be part of the family business. Lord God, we also come to you today on behalf of Belldonna White. Lord God, you have weakened her, and slowly she is waiting for your angels to come. Dear Lord, bless her with that knowledge and that faith that she has, that you will send your angels and that she will receive the gift of eternal mansions in the near future. Bless and encourage her whole family in that knowledge, that they may find comfort in this difficult time. And as the days go by, reduce that that struggle by pointing them to heaven as well. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our offering for tonight is in the alms box at the back. So we continue with our sacrament. Please rise.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who gathers his people through the Spirit and who blesses us with the opportunity to be his fishermen. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Blessed are you, Lord God, eternal King and gracious Father. In love you made us the crown of your creation. In mercy you planned our salvation. In grace you sent your Son to redeem us from sin. We remember and give you thanks for your eternal Son, Jesus Christ, that he became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that he willingly placed himself under law to redeem those under law, that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on a cross, and that he has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood in this sacrament. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, strengthen our fellowship, and deepen our longing for the day when Christ will welcome us to his eternal feast. Praise and thanks and honor and glory be to you, O God our Father, and to your Son and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And we pray the prayer we continue to learn. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10, and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in three-year-old preschool through the eighth grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. And for those of you watching the TV broadcast today, you'll notice the support structure above the screen for our brand new screens. So the project is underway and it's close. The television program today was produced by Don Harmon. This is Brent Bailey. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service live from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. It's now 11 o'clock here on 99.7 FM WRPQ Baraboo. It's now time for Sunday worship from Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church, 620 East Broadway, Wisconsin Dells. Bethany